How are you doing with the hurts, habits, and hang-ups of life? Hey, have you fallen? And are you finding it hard to get up? Is there really hope and healing in the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And this month at First Baptist Texarkana is a milestone month for us because the ministry called Celebrate Recovery has hit 10 years. It's 10-year anniversary. And we have seen through Celebrate Recovery at First Baptist Texarkana, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people helped and encouraged and delivered and just blessed through this ministry, and to live lives that are glorifying to God from the gutter to the mountaintop, and it is exciting. So today in the studio, I'm joined by my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, our teaching pastor and our counselor and minister over Celebrate Recovery at First Baptist Texarkana, along with another special guest, Rodney Holmstrom. Rodney is the National Field Director for Celebrate Recovery, and he works at Fellowship Bible Church in Rogers, Arkansas. So fellas, welcome to the program.
Thanks,
thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And Rodney, this is exciting for us to have you here as we celebrate 10 years.
That's amazing.
Of Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah.
And, how long have you been with CR?
I'm in my 17th year of doing this.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
And Chris, when you came on board 5 years ago,
yeah,
that was your first experience with Celebrate Recovery?
I did Celebrate Recovery at another church that I was at, so I was familiar with Celebrate Recovery. And I was near Saddleback. So that's a, you know, that's where it all started, with Saddleback in Southern California. So I'm very familiar with the program, and just an amazing program. Mm.
So Celebrate Recovery, I was doing a little research. It began in 1991 at Saddleback Church. John Baker was the guy that came up with the idea, and Rick said, great,
yeah,
you have this
go
burden,
do it.
Go do it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I was reading, Rodney, where 35,000 participating churches around the world,
yeah,
and we've had 5 million people go through the step studies.
Yeah, and growing every day.
Wow. So tell us your story, because there has to be a story in there that causes you to be so passionate about Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah, I kind of jokingly tell people that I guess you have to be one of the most messed up people on the planet to lead one of the ministries. So they picked me in Rogers, Arkansas. But yeah, I came from a pretty broken home, had multiple stepfathers. Don't know who, if they were legally married to my mom, but when I was in grad school, I counted up 10 stepfathers, and they all had a common thread of abuse and addictions. So physical, verbal, emotional abuse. And so I grew up very young age. I started using substances with my parents, if you can imagine that. As long as we were under their supervision, we were safe, as dysfunctional
as that. Smoking pot with your parents?
Yeah, smoking pot, and then got into some harder stuff with cocaine and just a real messed up, lots of alcohol, parties and stuff in the house. And so it was a common occurrence to see, my mom was a magnet to broken men. And she would just bring these broken men into the home because she had her own unresolved hurts. Mm-hmm. And when we don't deal with our hurts, it ripples on to people closest to us. And so in the home, I was just being the oldest of 5 boys. I was kind of the one that kind of took the brunt of a lot of stuff. And so carrying that weight, kind of serving as a surrogate dad to my brothers, even at a young age, when mom went out, I was the one watching the boys. And it was very common occurrence for them to come home to just knock down, I mean, just fighting, probably because they were jealous of how one looked at the other. And then a lot of times I would step in and try to defend my mom, and that abuse would turn toward me. And so at a young age, I learned that people weren't safe, and you had to figure it out on your own. Mm-hmm. And so I turned to substances as a way to cope with my pain. And it took me a while to get out of that. And I ended up, long story short, it's a long story, but ended up in one of our, we ran from these broken men, and we ended up in Phoenix, Arizona. And my mom, with the man that she was with, was running from him again. And I was a teenager, and I convinced her to let me stay. And I stayed in Phoenix, Arizona. And I was unfortunately staying with a drug dealer, as crazy as that sounds. But we ended up homeless. But I was a part of helping him sell drugs. I was just this codependent little flunky that didn't know which way was up.
Now, did you drop out of school?
I did drop out of school. And I dropped out before that to help support my mom. My mom had really bad physical health. And my stepfather at the time was a shingler, a roofer. And so I helped him shingle roofs. And a lot of times me and my younger brother would be on the roof and he would go to the bar and we'd work on the roof by ourselves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I apologize to those that had to endure our workmanship. But yeah, so ended up homeless and just saw things that young men should not see. Yeah. Exposed to a lot of crime and a lot of unhealth. And yeah, just when we don't have the true definition of the source of finding help in our pain, we'll go reaching for things.
Right.
And I reached for any and all things to just stay alive. And so by the grace of God, I ended up moving again and back to where my mom was. She moved on again, but I stayed there and my music teacher took me in. And one of the requirements to live with he and his wife was to go to church. I went to a First Baptist church there in Marlow, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whatever, I'll go to church. Just give me a place to live. But I went on it was a Disciple Now retreat. And God got a hold of me. If I'm being honest, I went because there was a lot of pretty girls.
Sure.
But God got a hold of me and just shook me up. And I received Christ. And that was the beginning of getting sober. Celebrate Recovery entered my life later in helping me deal with the reasons why I went to substance abuse.
Right.
You could probably say in layman terms, kind of this white knuckling of my addiction.
Right.
I knew how to be sober. I just didn't know how to be in recovery, and there's a big difference.
Yeah.
And so I was going to church. I was saved. I ended up
How old were you, Rodney?
I was 18 years old when I received Christ. And I was 2 years behind everyone in my class when I started back in school. So you can imagine the humiliation. But I had such great people around me, and they encouraged me and loved on me. And I graduated 2 years older than anyone in my class. My music teacher saw something in me. I didn't know I could sing, but he helped me get a scholarship. I got a scholarship at a small liberal arts college here in Oklahoma, and that's where I met my wife, and there's a lot of stuff there. But Celebrate Recovery enters our life, and I was actually helping lead worship at my church, and I was sharing part of my story, and they invited me in just to help part-time. And it's like, yeah, I can go help. And then they ended up bringing me on staff. And I thought, this is going to be really good because I can really help all those really messed up people.
Yeah.
Not knowing I am one of those messed up people. And so I kind of came in Celebrate Recovery through the back door, but huge impact. God got my attention in that process and said, hey, son, you got some things you need to work on. Stop white knuckling it. Let go. And it just reminded me that he who clings to his life will lose it. I was clinging under my power, and I was losing it. I didn't know what life was. I just thought, just don't do bad things. And Jesus had a bigger plan for me. And so I walked through the process and got some healing, and I'm a satisfied customer through that process.
Well, okay, so now your struggle with drugs, with alcohol too?
Mm-hmm.
And alcohol, then a lot of different drugs,
anything,
right?
I could put my body, honestly. Just being walking homeless, especially. I mean, there were times that I would, in Phoenix, Arizona, sleep on sidewalks, sleep in people's couches until we wore out their welcome, kind of a thing. But yeah, anything I could put in my body, I was just an easily influenced young man and so vulnerable.
Now, were you committing lots of crimes at that time too?
The only thing, and I'm not proud of it, the drug dealer, I would go along with him and he would say, hey, take this guy to the ATM kind of thing and get money out, that kind of deal.
Right.
So I didn't ever go out and,
hold people up.
Yeah, right? I didn't do anything like that, but I was just his little flunky.
Yeah.
So God used that really dysfunctional situation that really, I mean, just the things that I was around, it still just blows my mind. I look back at that little kid and just like, man, how did you, who are you?
How'd you come out of that?
Yeah, how do you survive something like that? Because I would see people there one day and gone the next. Mm-hmm. It's like they didn't pay up or whatever, and who knows what. I don't even want to imagine. But yeah, it's just is a bad atmosphere to be in. Yeah. Just a bad, ugly, dark world.
Now, were people like ODing and coding and that kind of stuff?
I saw that's part of the things that I saw that one story that really just still pops in my head, just kind of chilling, of a young man and a woman that were in the apartment where there was a big party, and the man overdosed. And the wife came out of the bathroom just frantic. I think it was her husband, may have been her boyfriend, but he's overdosing. And everyone was so, this is just kind of the picture of addictions. Mm-hmm. They were more concerned with what they were going to get or what they would lose or miss out on if this guy was a distraction. So they literally drug this guy out on the sidewalk several doors down when somebody called the police. And that woman turned around and walked back into that party.
Wow.
When they came, they didn't even know who he was. They just tended to, I don't even know if he lived. But it was just it was my first picture of, I saw a lot of darkness, but that one stands out as, man, if this is not the picture of turning our back on God, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I knew it was everyone for themselves. And I was in survivor mode. And so yeah, I saw that. I saw people getting arrested all the time. Guns getting pulled out on people. I mean, it was just an ugly world.
Yeah.
And I just thank God I'm not in that. And he brought me out of that.
So you get saved at 18, but now are the desires for drugs and alcohol, are they gone or are they still there?
You know, it's funny. There was a situation with the drug dealer where he had, VCRs used to be a lot more price worthy at that, you know, had value. He stole a VCR out of someone's house, and the police brought me in for questioning. Mm. I'm just this young, scared teenager. Mm. And I had seen enough movies and heard from guys enough that, hey, you just don't rat people out. And so I kept my mouth shut for about 5 minutes. And this nice detective, man, he was so sweet. I was like, oh, this is, I can get through this.
Good cop, bad cop.
Oh, man, he flipped the switch. And he was just like, I was scared for my life, literally. And I just spilled my guts. And I remember driving back in the police car with him. And he knew I was scared. Mm-hmm. And he said, my advice to you would be try to get out of here. And I didn't know how I was going to get out of here because he knew I was in danger. Once they found out, I ratted him out because they were probably going to go arrest him next. To this day, I don't know if they did. But there was a gentleman, I share this in my testimony, a guy that I would take to the ATM. For whatever reason, he came to me and he said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but God wants me to buy you this plane ticket.
Really?
And he bought me a plane ticket and flew me out of there to where my mom was living in Texas. And I still to this day don't know. One day I'm hoping that he's in heaven so that I can talk to him and say thank you for that, because he has no idea the impact that that did. But yeah, he got me out of there and went back to live with my mother and my stepfather at the time and got back into some dysfunction. But it scared me so much in that moment. I didn't touch drugs again. I touched alcohol, but I didn't touch drugs again. I was literally scared for my life. I thought, I was looking over my shoulder, what's coming next?
Yeah.
Just terrified.
Oh. Mm. Well, we're listening to the testimony of Rodney Holmstrom. He's the National Field Director for Celebrate Recovery, and he has a great story of deliverance and how God saved him from a life of drugs and alcohol and living on the street, and how God is using him now to help other people that are caught up in the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups of life. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Listen, if you're struggling with the hurts and habits and hang-ups of life, you're not alone, and people are wanting to help you. The whole purpose of Celebrate Recovery is for Christians to get together to help one another and to find help and deliverance in the Lord. So we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
In the book of Isaiah, the word tells us, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." In the same way, without careful planning, your financial goals could blow away like the seeds of a dandelion. It's never too early or too late to consider how a charitable gift annuity can help you meet the financial goals you've set for your loved ones, your causes, and yourself. Give AFA Foundation a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website, afafoundation.net. Let us explain how a charitable gift annuity can help you achieve your goals. As we read in Proverbs, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit." Our phone number again is 800-326-4543, extension 345. And our website is afafoundation.net.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
In His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality is changing hearts and lives.
It speaks directly to the power and the grace of God.
Gives me hope for people that I know that are struggling.
The whole idea of In His image has moved me.
We actually had one gentleman contact us, and he said that this film changed his mind about this issue. We had a pastor reach out to us, and he said that he'd been struggling with hatred in his heart towards people in the LGBTQ community, and this film helped him to realize he needed to have compassion and show people the love of Christ. We also had this same-sex attracted couple contact us, and they said after seeing the film, they wanted to live obedient lives for Christ no matter what, and they said, please pray for us. We know this is going to be hard. We've even had people come to faith in Jesus through In His Image.
To find out more, visit inhisimage.movie.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm in the studio with Dr. Chris Schroeder, our teaching pastor and minister over Celebrate Recovery, and we're with special guest Rodney Holmstrom, the National Field Director for Celebrate Recovery. And we are celebrating 10 years as a church for the ministry of Celebrate Recovery at First Baptist Texarkana. And Chris, you've been over the ministry about almost 5 years.
Coming up on 5 years, yeah.
And we've seen so many people helped, delivered, encouraged, blessed. One guy in particular that I'm thinking of, our friend Matt.
Oh, yeah.
His life was going
down. He got in such a good spot that he left us.
Yeah.
He went to another church. But he's actually leaving a ministry
That's
now.
That's a win.
And he started here through Celebrate Recovery. Wow. Worked the steps. Just great story of recovery.
His marriage seemed like there's no way.
Yes.
She moved out. Mm-hmm. He's been an alcoholic since he was what?
Yeah, functioning alcoholic for pretty much most of his adult life, pretty much all of his adult life. And I took him through the steps one-on-one, took him through the steps. And I mean, he really worked the steps, and we took a long time, but he really worked it. And his family was restored. His life was restored.
It's amazing.
Just so, so cool to see God work in his life.
Beautiful wife, 3 kids.
Yeah.
And, just to see
and felt a call to ministry and went into the ministry.
Yeah.
So really cool.
So it's exciting to see that. Now, Rodney, I know that you get to see it on a on a national level.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how you got involved in CR.
Yeah.
So you, as we left the last segment, the Lord intervened. You got saved at 18. You got delivered from a terrible environment.
Yeah.
And God was blessing you, and you met your wife in college.
Yeah.
And so now bring us up to speed. You're married. You're working at a church, or where
yeah,
are you working?
Yeah, I work at a church, Fellowship Bible Church. In
early on.
Oh, early on. No, early I'm actually in the business world.
Okay.
I moved to Northwest Arkansas on business,
Let me just say, Northwest Arkansas is one of the prettiest places
it is.
In America.
It is. Yeah, we love it.
Beautiful place.
We try to keep it a secret.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was there in the company. I was on a senior staff with the sales team there, and they were moving their operations to California. And this was in January of 06. And they asked me if I wanted to move to California. I said, I think I'll stay put. no offense. But they said, "We'll train our team, and we will pay you through March 31st, but you only have to work through the end of February." I thought, "That's fair." Well, then I got a phone call from one of the pastors at Fellowship. He said, "Hey, I've got some good news about this potential," because he would be telling me, "Would you ever be interested?" Because he knew my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm really, really busy," and it was a part-time position. It's because I was traveling, doing trade shows and stuff, but. But this job has ended, and now I get a call back again. He said, "I got good news and bad news. The good news is that part-time position is actually full-time. The elders have approved it.
Uh-huh.
The bad news is we wouldn't be able to start you till April 1st.
Okay.
And so my job pay ended March 31st.
Wow.
I started as the April Fool, I kind of jokingly say, on staff at Fellowship, and I took over the ministry, and I kind of came in. I had a heart for people, but I kind of thought I had it all figured out, that all my hurt is kind of taken care of.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I was going to help those people.
Yeah. Right.
And so I jumped into a small group that we call them step study small groups, where we're working the steps that you were talking about for Matt.
Yeah.
And that's where the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, "Hey, there's some underlying things here you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to help people, but if you're going to be effective, you need to fully heal your heart. Not just behave, but to actually heal."
I would figure, Rodney, you had a lot of bitterness toward your mother and these guys that did all these terrible things.
So much resentment, bitterness, a lot of underlying anger. And I wasn't the kind of guy that would go punch holes in walls. Mine was kind of referred to it as frozen anger.
Mm-hmm.
I turned inward. And so depression was kind of my MO, right? Mm-hmm. I would turn inward in these shame messages. Because part of my story is with one of my stepfathers, even doing my homework was really traumatic because his temper was very, very short.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still see the math problems. It was rounding up or rounding down. And when I didn't figure it out, he would just... It was like a volcano, and we called it sitting at the kitchen table, and I share that in my testimony where it was a physical, punch me in the face. I'd fall down, bloodied, get back up, disheveled, and we would play this routine every single night. And that routine.
And how old are you?
That was in junior high at this particular stepfather, right? And as I got into a step study group, this stuff started coming out. It's like you start paying attention and acknowledging where you are. It reveals things. And that can be scary, but the healing to the pain is in the pain.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the pain. I had to go to the trauma. And it took me a while to get to a point where, and today I can sit here and I can say every one of my stepfather's names and my blood pressure doesn't go up.
Wow.
Yeah. My heart rate doesn't pick up. I truly have forgiven them. And even more, sometimes I think, the act of a forgiveness is an act of obedience. But then there's a healing process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to minimize this pain because they all had broken families too.
Sure.
And part of me, I was like, well, I don't need to really feel that because they went through bad stories in their life. But sometimes I think we as Christians can be more comfortable with explanations than we can a Savior.
Oh, okay.
If I can explain it away, I don't have to think about it. But I have a Savior in Jesus Christ that says, hey, let's name the pain. Joseph did that in Genesis 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who hurt him? How did they hurt him? And how did it affect him?
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a valuable model for us. And I had to walk through the steps doing that with my own recovery to get underneath that anger that I used as a tool to try to get justice and healing that mm-hmm. never, ever worked, which would create frustration and more pain and more, yeah. more hurt and then more anger. And I just got stuck in that cycle. And so I didn't outwardly, my wife, early in our marriage, this was part of our struggle. I didn't have outbursts, but I would shut off everything. Mm-hmm. I would just become emotionally disconnected. And that was the reason that we separated in our first year of marriage. Mm-hmm. She was emotionally bankrupt, and I almost lost her. This was pre-recovery. Mm-hmm. But as I got into Celebrate Recovery, I started realizing, oh, this is my action tendency. I go away and I hide and I
withdraw.
Yeah, I withdraw from people because, and it makes sense. It doesn't justify it, but it makes sense. There's good reasons why I did that because mm-hmm. a lot of people hurt me.
Right.
But Jesus wanted to help heal me so that I could create new healthy relationships. Men, for example, you can imagine having male relationships were like a big danger zone for me.
Oh, yeah.
Men were my abusers. Mm-hmm. And Celebrate Recovery changed that thinking.
Yeah.
That, oh, men can be safe for me. And mm-hmm. I didn't realize how much I needed men in my life until I got into recovery. And I have an army of men around me. So I began unpacking that. And God began revealing some significant wounds and ultimately bringing healing and creating new healthy practices, new core beliefs as I faced that hurt in my life.
So how did it work out to where you started to be the national director?
Yeah, so I was helping on a local level. You know, our church, our local church, when they invited me on staff there, and we're very much on reproducing and multiplying, that it's not about us. It's fingerprints everywhere, name nowhere. And so there was people coming to our Celebrate Recovery because there was something good happening there. We were the only one in Northwest Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So churches were starting to hear about it, and they were coming to us and saying, hey, we want this for our church because we want people to know we're a safe church too. And so I just naturally started helping people.
Okay, so that you said you started in 2006?
2006, yeah.
Okay, so that was pretty early on because we started fairly early with 2012. I think we were the first in Texarkana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So churches were coming and saying, hey, we're hearing about this ministry called Celebrate Recovery. And, you know, the thing about Celebrate Recovery is it tells the community that we are a safe church.
Yeah.
And so I was just naturally helping people. And then there was some people on the regional team that would catch wind of that. And so I started having conversations with them. And they brought me in as what they called an assimilation coach, a national assimilation coach. And then eventually they put me into a regional director role to help serve the region. And then ultimately working with Mac Owen, who's the global director of Celebrate Recovery. He and Johnny Baker, Pastor John Baker's son, invited me on to be the global field director. And now I get to serve in helping equip state reps and regional directors to do what I was doing on a local level in helping other churches get started.
So you still work at Fellowship Church?
Yep.
That's your
Yeah, that's full-time. My job. Yeah, that's my full-time job. And I just help on the side, just trying to connect with people. And we do conferences where people come in and learn. And they'll let me speak every once in a while, and I'll come be a part of that.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so Chris, how did you find out about Rodney?
Rodney's at all the, so we have summits. Every year there's a summit. Last couple have been in Dallas. That's been nice for us. That's been really great for us. But before that, you know, we went to Saddleback a couple years. And so Rodney's always one of the main speakers. He's on the main leadership team for mm-hmm. Celebrate Recovery.
Right.
And he's a great speaker. He gives a great lesson. And I just think he does a good job of handling the word and mm-hmm. bringing in the integration of psychology and Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we've been impressed with his ministry. And then we have a state director at our Celebrate Recovery, Randy Strawn. Mm-hmm. And so we just thought it would be great to have Rodney come to help celebrate these 10 years of ministry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've seen great growth here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really model ourselves after, you know, what Rogers is mm-hmm. doing and everything. So So we were just excited to have Rodney come and help us celebrate. So he's going to speak to our Celebrate Recovery group.
So it's going to be awesome.
So we have, Chris, just so the listeners know, in Texarkana, we have Celebrate Recovery that meets every night of the week at some church.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's our church on Tuesday
nights. Yeah, we're Tuesday nights. I can't say exactly every church what night we do. One of the other big ones is Church on the Rock is Friday nights. But yeah, we want it to where people can go every single night of the week. And I think in our area, you know, probably within about 30 to 45 minutes, pretty much every night you could hit a Celebrate Recovery. You could be, and you know, that's the main group that you could go to, that Celebrate Recovery. But you also could go to a step study too. So a step study is an addition to the regular evening of Celebrate Recovery.
Okay, so just walk us through. So if somebody's listening and says, okay, I have a hurt in my life, and I'm dealing with it through drugs or alcohol or a destructive relationship or whatever. Because it's not just drugs and alcohol. Pornography.
They say 1/3 of all the people coming to Celebrate Recovery is drugs and alcohol. And the rest is other issues.
It's all that underlying stuff. We always say the problem is not the problem. The drugs and alcohol and all that is a symptom of like that resentment for me. There was something that was hurting on the inside of me that every time I bumped into new relationships, it tended to rear its ugly head and say, "Ooh, I forgot you were there." And so what I love about that it's in so many churches is a lot of people are scared. And this is kind of the mantra I've heard through the last 17 years is there's going to be lightning strike when I walk through the door because you don't know what I did. You know, I'm a pretty messed up, broken person. But a lot of times people think, I've got to go get my stuff together and then I'll go be a part of this family. And what I love about Celebrate Recovery, and the church has always been this, but you know how the enemy is so deceiving. Celebrate Recovery becomes a beautiful on-ramp to say, hey, if you are struggling with something. In fact, we've had atheists walk into our ministry and you know, introduce themselves. I'm an atheist and I struggle with. And I can remember a guy coming up to me after the small group because I was leading that group that night. And he said, hey, I'm an atheist, and I know everyone else is saying grateful believer. Is it okay if I stick around here? I said, man, you are welcome to stay here. In fact, we'd rather you not say you're a believer if you're not.
Well, explain to the audience how you introduce yourself in Celebrate Recovery.
So I'm glad you said that, because it's really trying to make sure, as I walk into with my hurt, someone listening, I'm an addict, I'm a prostitute, I'm a codependent, whatever it is, I'm a rageaholic. Is your identity, in spite of what the enemy says, is not in your struggle. And so one of the reasons why we say, I'm a believer, if you're not a believer, say I'm an atheist or I'm trying to figure all this out. And then we say, you know, I struggle with these things, is we want the order to be in the right place. That I'm not defined by my
sin.
That's not my identity. My identity is in Christ. And man, that changes. That's a game changer, as you know, as believers. Like, if we know that old person is dead, we're made alive. And now let's work on being transformed by the renewing of our mind, which means we got to get into that space. And so, just having a space to come in and know that I don't have to have it all figured out. In fact, it's okay not to be okay. Jesus loves you right where you are. But he loves you too much to keep you there. And here's the cool thing. If God can use me, and he can use the guys around this table, he can use anybody. And that's what's so cool about it is God will not waste the hurt that you're struggling with right now. You think that the world is over and there's no hope for you. God's going to use that as gasoline. There's nobody that can speak to an addict like an addict or someone that's been abused like someone that's been abused or whatever. And so God takes that. He heals it. He holds us gently in that space in a loving way. And then he does something only God can do. He flips it on its head and says, you know what? I'm going to use this for the next guy that walks through that door that needs the hope that maybe someone is listening and is just longing for right now.
Amen. God is the God of hope. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder and to our special guest, Rodney Holmstrom, the National Field Director for Celebrate Recovery. And listen, we all deal with hurts and habits and hang-ups, and there is victory and healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk more to Rodney about the ministry of Celebrate Recovery. Don't go away.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope exists to love and serve those in need. Over the past 15 years, over 40,000 volunteers have helped 7,000 families rebuild their homes for free after natural disasters. We've also renovated and rebuilt facilities to bring hope and healing to those rescued from sex trafficking. Our rapid response ministry is busier than ever. With 40 deployments over the last 4 years, we've been able to minister to so many when it mattered most. It's completely free to serve with us. We provide your food and lodging when you volunteer. There's countless opportunities for any skill set and any skill level. We spend multiple weeks with those that have lost so much by cutting trees, tarping roofs, mucking out houses, and so much more. Consider joining us on our next outreach. You will never be the same. For more information about 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we're talking about the ministry of Celebrate Recovery. At First Baptist Texarkana, we're celebrating 10 years of this ministry at our church, changing lives and taking people from a terrible situation where they feel hopeless and filling them with the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen lives transformed over the years. The power of this ministry can't be denied. In the studio, we're talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder, who is on staff at First Baptist Texarkana and heads up our Celebrate Recovery ministry. And we're talking to special guest Rodney Holmstrom, the National Field Director for Celebrate Recovery, and a man who has worked with Celebrate Recovery since 2006 and seen the effects of Celebrate Recovery in his own life. And so, as you're listening, maybe you're thinking, well, I've never been to a Celebrate Recovery, but I do deal with hurts and habits and hangups. And Chris, what would you say to the person that's fearful about coming? I don't know where to go. I don't know how to find a church that has this. Mm-hmm. And what could I expect if I walked in the door?
Well, by the way, I mean, hurts, habits, and hangups. I would challenge everyone to look up codependency and what codependency is, and you might be surprised. You might fall in that category you didn't even think you did. Mm-hmm. So I remember when I first looked up codependency, I said, someone said, you might want to look that up. And I looked that up and I was like, wow, that's me, you know.
what are you trying to say?
That might be an issue, you know. Codependency might be an issue for you. So we want to help you to get involved in a sober recovery, because you will find healing in sober recovery if you really work it. So Rodney, could you just walk through the steps of someone who It takes a lot of courage to walk into a church with a celibate recovery. What would they expect on a normal night of celibate recovery?
Yeah. If you decide to go to a celibate recovery, we applaud you, because it is scary. But man, it can be hard to face those things, but it's so worth it. So typically you're going to see, when you walk through those doors, you're going to see welcoming people. And here's the cool thing about celibate recovery. These are not professionals. These are people that have walked through the process. So they know what hurt is. They know what hang-ups and these negative core beliefs, and they know habits we can form, or like I like to say, defenses or protections that can arise because of unaddressed hurt and broken relationships. Hurt people hurt people. We all probably have been hurt by someone, and as a result, we've hurt others. So you're going to walk in and see people that are in the journey with you. So just be encouraged by that. So that kind of takes a little bit of that layer off, you know, us versus them. Hey, just join the family kind of thing. So you walk in and you're just going to be greeted by people, and they're going to kind of give you the rundown of the night. Typically, you have a meal. And as much as I love food, and my wife knows how much I love food, it's not just about food. It's about connecting with other people. I mentioned my own fears of being in relationship with men. It forced me to sit down at a table, and something about food, Jesus did that all the time. Glad you're here. Now let's go eat. And so just sitting down, having some fellowship, starting some relationships. So you're going to build some connection and people that you're going to be on the journey with. And then we move into the what we call the general meeting night. And it's just a time of worship. It's a time of a testimony or truths coming out of Matthew chapter 5 based on God's word, Jesus' word, saying, let me tell you how to be blessed in spite of your circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so we do a lesson 1 week. We do a testimony the following week, and a time of worship and celebration. There's just something about being in the same room with other believers and knowing you're not alone.
Right.
You know, let's not, as Hebrews said, let's not give up on meeting with one another. We need each other. God wired us for connection. Let's get together and praise the one who's the true hero in our story.
That's right.
It's just a time that just helps us feel better after a hard week. But then we move into the what we call open share small groups, and they're gender-specific groups where we dive into maybe sharing a struggle or a victory from the week, or sometimes we'll have a focus question. Hey, think about this. The cool thing about that setting is you don't have to share. If you just think, man, I don't want to share. And I was kind of that way when I first came in. It's like I was thinking about the donuts afterward.
Yeah.
But I got in there, and I started hearing these other men talk, and I thought, these guys have my story. Hmm. We didn't have the same backgrounds, but we all had a common thread of hurt. And there was such a safety, because we have small group guidelines that keep our time safe and productive. There was a safety in there to just know that I could share in this space and it was going to be okay. And once I heard those guys share, I just opened my mouth and started unloading stuff. And I thought they were going to run out and try to find the pastor because they found the messed up guy. Or kick me out of the church, or make fun of me, or judge me, or try to fix me. They just smiled at me and said, hey, thanks for sharing, Rodney.
That's right.
I was like, wow, this is safe. So we do that for an hour, and then we come out and we have a time of coffee. Sometimes there'll be pastries.
Donuts.
I do love donuts. And it's just another time of fellowship and just connecting with other people, kind of continuing the conversation. You know, hey, tell me more about your story kind of thing. Let's be accountability partners. That's a Friday night. And you don't have to stay for the whole thing. We don't take roll. And why didn't you stay as long as for the coffee as you did? You know, it's just, we just want to create a safe space, because a lot of people don't have a safe place where they can just take the mask off, because I'm afraid what you're going to see underneath. Just take that off and experience for the first time what it's like to be loved and seen and caught in your pain and accepted.
That's right.
That's the gospel. It's like Jesus did this for us, and now we're to carry it forward. And that's what Celebrate Recovery does, is it heals people so that we can help heal people and help heal people and really kind of multiply that through the family. So that's a typical general meeting night experience. A cool thing is all you got to do is get your rear there.
Yeah. Walk through those doors. Yeah.
Get there. And yeah. Even if you're not sure your heart's there, your heart will follow.
Well, I mean, it's a safe place. There's anonymity. I mean, it's going to be private.
Yep.
You're going to find people that care.
Yep.
And you're not going to be like exposed or anything like that. Yeah. It's going to be a really safe place for you to come.
Yeah. And anonymity and confidentiality are a big part of this process. In fact, we don't do last names. If you want to tell me your last name, great. I don't care about my anonymity. If I see you in public, mm-hmm. shout from the rooftops, Rodney's from Celebrate Recovery, because I want the world to hear about it. But if you don't feel comfortable with that, I will not say I know you from Celebrate Recovery.
Right.
Unless you say it.
Right.
If someone say, how do you know him? I know him from church.
Yeah.
That's all they need to know. But yeah, anonymity, that's a big one, especially if someone's listening. Is it going to be safe?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the guidelines are such an important part of what we do at Celebrate
Recovery. We say in our group, we say, whatever is said here stays here.
Here,
so it's yeah. like it's like Vegas. No, it's not like Vegas. But
only not.
But, yeah, only not.
So what does somebody do? Let's say I'm struggling with alcohol, mm-hmm. and then I'm doing pretty well. I haven't had a drink in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. And then I fall.
That's a good point.
Do I feel like I can't come back anymore, or how do we handle people at CR that
yeah.
have had a fall?
Yeah, that's so good you said that, because that does happen. Yep. Relapse is a part of recovery. It's not required, but it is an option. And sometimes we do have people that fall into that. And the thing that we try to create a safety net for is, this is exactly where you need to be, mm-hmm. Because the enemy will whisper in our ear that, hey, you've done it now, right? I like to call that misery island. He kind of mm-hmm. takes us over into this place, this island, and says, the same enemy that was whispering, saying, hey, you can have just one drink, which, by the way, is the alcoholic's mantra. Mm-hmm. Can I just get back to having two glasses of mm-hmm. wine at dinner, right? And then we're drinking a case. I can't touch a drop. So the enemy takes us to that misery island, and then he says, man, you can never go back.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they going to think of you, right? So we get consumed with the thought of potential pain that will sacrifice staying in continuous pain, right? This place of misery. And so the cool thing is, just like Jesus tells us, just come home. Come home. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of starting over. It's picking up where you left off.
Right.
And we'll love you, and we're going to walk you through. We're going to speak truth. Because we all need a balance of truth and grace, right? If one wing is too heavy, the plane's going down.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to speak truth, but we do it in love. We do it in grace. And we want to get you back on the right track so you can get back to living out God's purpose. So I'm so glad that you asked that question.
And you could get, we call it a blue chip. So you get a blue chip saying, this is, I'm going to work on this issue in my life. And so, I mean, I have a handful of blue chips, you know, so I got it one time and then I slipped and relapsed. And so I'm going to get another blue chip. It's always about getting back up. Just get yep. back up. Don't mm-hmm. stay down. Get back up. And we're here doing, it's all about encouragement. We're here to encourage you mm-hmm. to yeah. get back up.
So Chris, for you personally, because I know, you know, you've had hurts in your background, and how did you start to lead a CR? How did that affect you personally?
Well, I just had, you know, actually it was started by just being a part of people who wanted to start Celebrate Recovery, you know, mm-hmm. and them, a lot of people being from an AA background and then finding Christ and seeing that, hey, there's something deeper than this, you know. And so when I saw Celebrate Recovery, I saw, wow, this is the way the church is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the church. you know. And so there's something very appealing about Celebrate Recovery. It's just so honest. Mm-hmm. It's so open compared to the rest of, you know, church life.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I love about CR, is there's a lot of honesty there, and people are, like you said, Rodney, they take the mask off.
Yeah.
This is who I am, and when they get up to speak, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with X, Y, and Z,
yeah,
whatever X, Y, and Z is, and everybody says, okay, I struggle with stuff too. It might not be the same X, Y, and Z. Maybe it's A, B, and C,
yeah,
but it's something.
Well, I like when people say, this struggle brought me here, but now I'm struggling with such and such. Mm-hmm. So you work at one item at a time. Uh-huh. So we call them character defects. Okay, mm-hmm. So we all have character defects. Come from our family of origin, our surroundings, you know, where we are, and then they come from our choices. Mm-hmm. And so we all have character defects in our life. We all do. And so it's just being honest with that. We take inventory of our lives, you know, a daily inventory and periods of time where we take an inventory, and we're thinking about people who have hurt us or people that we have hurt, and we're just being really honest.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I think sometimes we feel guilty to talk about, like, our family of origin. We don't want to shame them. We're not blaming them.
Right.
But one of the most honoring things we can do is to be honest about pain that has happened from family members. Not to make them an evil person, but we all have hurt people, right? But if I can come into this space and organize that, and name that and process that, ultimately, I want to get back to God's purpose. And if this is keeping me from living out God's purpose in my life, I can't fear man.
Right.
Proverbs 29:25 is that, you know, fear of man brings a snare. But when we fear God, we'll be exalted and kept safe. Right. I want to be with God, and I want to be in that place of safety.
Now, do people graduate from CR? How does that work?
That's a great question. I mean, you mean sometimes people will be there for decades, and that's fine. I've heard, you know, Johnny Baker say, if that's the way you want to work the program, you work it for the rest of your life, you're in the program the rest of your life, that's great. But some people do come in and out of Celebrate Recovery, and that's fine too.
Yeah, the ideal model is we want to release you back into the church. They'll become tomorrow's children's leaders and tomorrow's elders. I always tell my team, hey, the person that just walked in may be tomorrow's elder. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Let's love them well. Mm-hmm. Let's point them to Christ and give them the truth. So some people will go through the process, they get the healing, and they go back to their church or in the church that they're in, and they serve, and God's done an amazing thing in their life. The cool thing is a lot of them will recycle that, whether that's practically as a leader of Celebrate Recovery or in the church as a whole. And so it's not mandatory to stay in Celebrate Recovery. It's not a lifetime sentence.
I mean, it does produce leaders. I don't think there's any ministry like Celebrate Recovery for reproducing leaders.
Yeah. Right.
There's a set way that we produce leaders out of Celebrate Recovery, and it works.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So as we were talking at the break, if a person's never been there before, Rodney, they just go online and type in Celebrate Recovery?
You can go to CelebrateRecovery.com and type in Find a Group. There's a tab you click on, and it will. You can literally type in your zip code, and it will show you the Celebrate Recoveries in your area. Or if you're a church wanting to start Celebrate Recovery, there's a Find a Rep, and we have volunteer. I think we have over 300 volunteer state reps across the region to help pastors and churches start this ministry in their church. But yeah, it's as easy as that. Just go type in your zip code at CelebrateRecovery.com, find a group, and all you got to do is show up, and man, you will experience the love of Christ through a beautiful new relationship you never even knew you had.
Amen. Well, any pastors listening, I would just encourage you, if you would like to start this, it will be a great blessing to your community. It'll be a great blessing to your church. It is a way to reach people that aren't connected to any church. People that feel like they're, Rodney, as you said, I can't come to church. I'm too damaged. I'm too sinful. A great on-ramp for them to find hope and help in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shree. Rodney, thank you for being our special guest.
Thank you, Chris.
As always, thank you for sharing your insight from the Lord. Listen, we always like to encourage you to shine and share. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you, and God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.